bak det med någon parkour. If you make a great effort in your heart to chant Lord Krishna's holy name, then you will become qualified to chant. Then you will turn away from false ego, and you will think yourself more fallen and lowly than a blade of grass, less important than a pile of ashes. Then you will become more tolerant than a tree. Turning from violence, you will protect others. In the course of your life, you will never give trouble to others, and forgetting your own happiness, you will help others. Then you will become saintly. Then you will have all virtues, and turning from the desire for fame, you will become humble. Aware that Lord Krishna makes his home in every living entity, you will always give all respect to others. Possessing the four virtues, humility, mercy, respect to others, and not desiring respect for oneself, in that mood, please chant the holy names. Approaching the Lord's feet, Bhaktivinod says, O Lord, when will you make me qualified in these ways? So, Bhaktivinod Thakur here is summarizing some of the things we've talked about in our attempt to chant sincerely and to hear, then gradually these qualifications manifest by the grace of the holy name. And this creates what a transformation in the heart, and that transformation is that instead of taking shelter of material things, gradually we take shelter of Krishna. Ordinarily in our course of activities, when we're assailed by difficulties or fourth graders or different things that assail us, we take shelter of our own wits. We take shelter of our position, our intelligence. In so many different ways, we have our things that we look for defense. But the actual stage of Namashraya, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, is when we, it doesn't mean that we don't utilize whatever we have, but our shelter is the holy name. The devotee at that stage actually feels a kinchana, that I don't have anything. I only have Krishna. So it's gradually removing our faith in material things, in material situations, material material shelter, and placing it in Krishna. And this is actually important, because if we think that we're qualified, you know, if I have solutions, I have answers, I can figure things out, then there's really no need to take shelter of Krishna. Because I've got my bases covered, right? At least in a lot of situations. But fortunately for us, material nature is so arranged that eventually or gradually or daily, these material, Bhagavatam also calls them the fallible soldiers, these things prove to be fallible. And so in those circumstances, then we can take shelter of Krishna. So, but anyway, the idea, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that when our faith is completely in Krishna, then that's, you know, that's nisha. And at that stage, then nothing can harm such a devotee, or nothing can affect him. So this week we're going to talk about Krishna's mercy. But not exactly Krishna's mercy, but there's this age-old debate in various schools of philosophy, and even in our some of our lineages, is everything just a matter of Krishna's mercy, or can we do anything? And there's a story of what were those two examples? The monkey holding on to the back of the baby monkey holding on to the back of the mother monkey. Or that's one thing. In other words, that's one understanding, is that the devotee does everything he can, tries to hold on to Krishna, and in this way we're successful. There was a great debate like this. And the other example was the kitten, I believe, right? Cat and the kitten. In which case the kitten doesn't do anything. The mother just comes along and picks up the kitten by the neck and takes him to safety, and that's it. So some people, anyway, we heard this discussion, that you're not saved by works, you're saved by grace, so on and so forth. But our understanding, coming from our acharyas, is that both are required. Krishna responds to his devotee. And the story that's given is the Damodar Leela. Probably everyone, does everybody know that Leela? Sort of. Anyway, just briefly, Mother Yashoda found that Krishna was very, very naughty, and decided to tie him up so that he would be a good little boy and not grow up to be a juvenile delinquent or something. So, but she would gather rope and she would try to tie him, but she found that every time she tried to tie him, the rope was, I think it said 2 fingers too short, or 2 inches sometimes it said. Anyway, 2 fingers too short. And so then she got more rope from the house and she tied that on, and then she attempted to bind him, but it was still 2 fingers too short. And in this way she eventually got all the rope in the house, and she couldn't tie her little boy with that rope. So then, seeing her endeavor and her perspiration, Krishna's mercy was there. How does it explain? It's explained like this, that Krishna's mercy potency conquers his other potencies. He has his satya sankalpa potency and his vibhuti, aishwarya shakti. Don't ask for more explanation than this. This is what they're saying. And so these different potencies, his vibhuti, his opulence, you know, his causes the rope to be too short. But eventually, his love for his devotee causes his mercy potency to overcome the others. And then then Mother Yashoda was able to tie Krishna. So it's understood that the 2 fingers too short, or one is the devotee's endeavor, the devotee's trying, and the other is Krishna's mercy. So this is always a factor in our devotional life. Actually, Toshan Krishna Prabhu was telling me I hope you'll don't mind I repeat this, that when he came to Krishna consciousness, the devotees told him, if you take one step towards Krishna, he takes 10 towards you. And he thought, wow, this is great. So anyway, he pursued Krishna consciousness, and his experience was that Krishna did, in fact, take 10 towards him, and got so much realization, enthusiasm, and like that. But we have to take the one step. So maybe it's not even two fingers, maybe it's 1 in 10, but whatever. The point is that we've been stressing a lot in our classes about our endeavor, and especially in trying to hear. And it's explained that we may, try to chant with a lot of feeling, we may do a lot of things, but this attempt to hear and to avoid offenses while we're chanting is very important type of endeavor for us to attract Krishna's mercy. So in these different keys of attentive chanting, then the last key is a very mysterious one. It's Krishna's mercy. We can't put a finger on that, really. We can't understand how or when or why exactly Krishna's mercy comes. But it is clear that we can do something on our side to, or it's necessary for us to endeavor, not that we just do nothing. Some people, anyway, we've heard these various philosophies. When death comes, I'll chant Hare Krishna. Until then, I don't really have to do too much. So some suggestions by our acharyas as to things that we can look at within ourselves, qualities within ourselves. They're also a little illusory, mysterious, but they're qualities within ourselves that we can develop to make ourselves hopefully more good candidates for Krishna's mercy. So the first one, because the idea is that in the course of chanting, in the course of seeing our own defects, our own smallness, I was just thinking about that, millions of universes, in each one of these universes there's billions of souls, I mean, just countless souls, we're just one little tiny speck. But it's amazing that the covering of false ego makes us seem so big, at least to myself. I'm pretty important. may not be very important to anyone else, but to me, I'm very important. So it's when you think about that, our just infinite smallness and kind of the psychology that conditioned souls wear, it gives a great testimony to the power of false ego and the material covering. That's really astounding. So anyway, the point is, in the course of chanting and observing our internal workings, our false ego, our mind, and so on and so forth, we come to this conclusion that I really need to take shelter of Krishna. I can't do this on my own. I need Krishna's mercy. So although Lord Chaitanya has given us, you might say, achieving love of God is otherwise impossible, but he's given us the holy name, which makes the impossible possible. It's not like a pill or something that we take to get rid of our headache, but it makes it possible. So the first qualification which is given is faith, adho-shraddha, that we have some faith. Because in order to take shelter of the holy name, then we have to have some faith in the holy name. Why would we do it? Most of the world doesn't chant the holy name. They don't find any need to. So But they do other things. They'll buy insurance policies and go to universities, get on airplanes. These things require a lot of faith. But not the holy name. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur defines faith. This is the definition of his... Oh, actually, this is nice. He says that faith is the entrance gate into the palace of the holy name. And he defines faith as being that the name is identical with Lord Krishna. That's the faith. In other words, that when we're chanting the holy name, we're going to be with Krishna. So we can think like that. We should think like that. That when I'm chanting the holy name, I'm with Krishna. I'm going to be with Krishna, and Krishna's with me. We can think of Krishna in that way, because this is the first. Okay, so this is a first point. Another point is sincerity, and again, this is a little hard to pinpoint. It's even hard to define. Sometimes it's defined as the absence of hypocrisy, or being the same on the inside as the outside, like that. There was a nice story. One time Srila Prabhupada was being asked by his disciples about different philosophers. You know, they say, well, what about this philosopher? What do you think about him? What do you think about him? And there was one philosopher, and Srila Prabhupada's comment about him, or I guess they asked, is this Krishna consciousness, or is this, you know, are they getting there? Is this something related to Krishna consciousness? And with this one philosopher, Srila Prabhupada's comment was, his sincerity is his Krishna consciousness. So in other words, he was, you know, sincerely looking for the truth, and that was his Krishna consciousness. And in one sense, you can say that's all that's required. It's just this sincere desire. A devotee is defined as someone who takes shelter of Krishna. So if we actually there's different qualities of a devotee, but the principal quality, other qualities may not be manifest yet. They will become manifest. But if a devotee just has the sincerity of let me take shelter of Krishna, then that's the preliminary quality, or I can say the fundamental quality. So this sincerity, that I may have so many difficulties, I may have so many problems, but my goal in life is to become a devotee, or to become a servant of Krishna. So in the Jiva Goswami comments on this in the Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto, chapter 20. Krishna is speaking to Uddhava, and he speaks about the devotee in this way. Having awakened faith in the narrations of my glories, being disgusted with all material activities, knowing that all sense gratification leads to misery, but still being unable to renounce all sense enjoyment, my devotee should remain happy and worship me with great faith and conviction. Even though he sometimes is engaged in sense enjoyment, my devotee knows that all sense gratification leads to a miserable result, and he sincerely repents such activities. So then this this purport is given by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He says, by my previous... So he's kind of restating this verse, but in filling in some of the understandings in between. It says, by my previous shameful life, my heart is polluted with many illusory attachments. Personally, I have no power to stop them. Only Lord Krishna within my heart can remove such inauspicious contamination. But whether the Lord removes such attachments immediately or lets me go on being afflicted by them, I will never give up my devotional service to Him. Even if the Lord places millions of obstacles in my path, and even if because of my offenses I go to hell, well, I will never for a moment stop serving Lord Krishna. I am not interested in mental speculation and fruitive activities. Even if Lord Brahma personally comes before me offering such engagements, I will not be even slightly interested. Although I am attached to material things, I can see very clearly that they lead to no good, because they simply give me trouble and disturb my devotional service to the Lord. Therefore, I sincerely repent my foolish attachments to so many things, and I am patiently awaiting Lord Krishna's mercy. So this is an amazing sincerity in the heart of the devotee. And then the third point, what are we doing here? Is hope. The devotee has hope. And actually, His Holiness Satchinanda Maharaj, when he was explaining this, he was saying that if you have hope that something can happen, then you will see it. If you have no hope that something can happen, even if it does, you won't see it. Even if it's right in front of you. And I've seen many examples of this, that people actually get Krishna's mercy, but they don't think they got it. They're thinking, well, I didn't get anything. It's true that this is one... anyway, one thing that we can think about. And this isn't a hope that, well, I'm really a great devotee, and so I have a lot of hope that Krishna will bless me. It's not that kind of hope. It's just knowing that Krishna is so merciful. We know Krishna is really merciful, and we have great hope that He will be merciful to us also. Why not? He gave one story. I don't know if you any of you seen. Sometimes they at these seminars they show this little movie, and it's very interesting. It's these two teams that are playing against each other, and they're playing this game where they're bouncing this ball back and forth. Ring a bell with anybody? Anyway, they bounce this ball, and they're going back and forth, and one team's in white and the other's in black, and so they'll show this movie, and they ask everybody in the audience, and maybe there'll be 200 people there, that just see if you can see how many times, you know, they pass the ball. And so, you know, they'll show the movie, and you're watching 1, 2, 3, you know, trying to count, and everybody's doing this, and then all of us, and then, you know, then they get done. Well, how many times was it? 13, 14, 21, you know. Well, try again. And so they all watch it again, and then they come up with different figures. Then they say, okay, watch it again, and don't try to count. Just see what's happening. And everybody watches it again. It's the same film. And during the course of all this playing, this giant gorilla walks from one side of the room to the other and looks at you and then walks out the other side. And it's the same film. But nobody, you'd have to see it. Anyway. But it just points out how sometimes we miss some kind of big things because our attention is somewhere else. You know, we're busy counting our little balls, you know, and then Krishna's mercy's right there in front of us. Hi, here I am. But we don't see that. So this anyway, that was, it's kind of a mundane example, but it gives a point. That in our daily lives, we can be on the lookout for something besides all the little stuff. We can be on the lookout for Krishna's mercy and see. And I think we'll see that it does manifest in our lives every day. So this is one idea. This is the hope of the devotee. And when the other thing is that happens is as we see that Krishna's helping us, as we become aware of this, how Krishna's helping, we're trying to take shelter of Krishna more, and he helps, he comes through in so many different ways, then we feel very cared for by Krishna, because it's very hard to show love unless we feel that we're loved. That's, you know, if you've never experienced any love in your life, it's very difficult to show love. So in this way we experience Krishna's caring for us. And so in one sense, you know, we just have to continue. They're kind of the most important thing for us, really, in the sense of sincerity, is just to continue trying to chant, to continue to try to take shelter of Krishna, because surely it will be successful. We may not get it all right the first time. Surely not. But his mercy will come. So this is our hope. Srila Prabhupada said we have great hope, right? We have great hope. So there's one other point I wanted to make on this, is that we'll see if there's any discussion. But there's one other point I wanted to make, is that sometimes, occasionally, Krishna responds to us by not responding. This is an important understanding. He even did it to the gopis, what to speak of our lowly selves. So when he disappeared from the rasa dance, Vishwanath, the gopis just went crazy. They were just, where is he gone? And they began cursing themselves. They were mad at Krishna. They were frustrated. But they never, their devotion for him didn't go down a drop. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points, he explains why this is so. So Krishna's mercy and love are there even when it feels like he is not present. Krishna loves us. Just continue and gradually Krishna will let you know. When we perceive Krishna's affection, then we can love him. Sometimes we may think, well, Krishna should reveal himself to me. I'm trying. We had this discussion on Sunday. In a way, it's kind of childlike. You know, for many births, or for who knows how long, we've forgotten Krishna. Okay, Krishna, now I'm really trying. So you have to reveal yourself. It would help my service so much if Krishna revealed himself. Why doesn't he just surrender? So, this is the idea. This is our... Anyway, it's kind of the same problem. The false ego, I want to do it, I want to be in charge. It's kind of part of the same dilemma that got us here in the first place. So we should know that Krishna sometimes responds by not responding. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says... For those surrendered souls who worship me through Nam Kirtan and other means, I do not respond in order to make their worship more perfect. So he says, O gopis, you cannot understand my real intention. Not seeing me, those surrendered souls develop deep faith, feeling, or deep humility, feeling. Alas, alas, everything I have done is useless. Because I am an offender, Krishna has not shown even the slightest favor to me. Let me be damned. By constantly thinking in this way, those who have not yet developed mature love for me will become free from lust and anger and will awaken pure devotion that is full of power and brilliance. So the idea is that we want to develop a stronger love, a mature love for Krishna. That's part of our desire. We don't want to be a fair weather friend to Krishna. We want to develop. So seeing that determination in his devotee, he acts in such a way to bring that out. So sometimes he encourages us by appearing, sometimes he's not present, but we should have this faith that he's acting for our benefits, for us to increase our love. This is also his reciprocation to help us increase our devotion. So these are some ideas that are given as to, I guess, moods or attitudes like that we can try to cultivate. Although it may, at least to me, it may seem far distant, but these are some moods that we can develop that will help us in Krishna consciousness. So how are we doing? I'm sorry for talking so much. So let's see, any discussion on these points? Yes.
But you just in the beginning you said what the four virtues were.
Oh yeah.
I got the first one, you know, what you see the other three, please?
Yeah, they were.
Where is that written?
This is interesting. Third song. We sang Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Sri Krishna Kirtana Jati. It begins like that. We had a different translation, and I found this one. It's the same song, but it's a slightly different translation, and it brought out some wonderful points. So, but that, it's from there. And this is in there. So it says that the four virtues are humility, mercy, respect to others, and not desiring respect for oneself. So that's actually implied in that verse, Trinadapi Samichina Sarvodapi. Those are both things are there. As we try to chant sincerely, those things develop, and as we develop these qualities, it enables us to chant sincerely. So our effort is our adhikara. So
I just wanted to share, thing you're talking about, that movie, you know, the balls, we don't see the bigger picture. Like an example, we hear about the drowning man who God to be saved, and boat came, and the plane came, and then he says, you never came for me.
Right.
So that seems to be, so we see the mercy of Krishna. Sometimes we don't recognize it.
Yeah.
And recently I was reading an article, I think it was a Reader's Digest, about the science of saying thank you.
Mm.
We're talking about gratitude. Yes, groups of people who were expressing gratitude at the end of the day for Ramsanam, and some of them, other group was just, you know, talking of, just thinking of everyday things, whatever they did, they would just like make note of that at the end of the day. And the third group was complaining for what was happening in their life.
Right.
And then they found that the gratitude people were actually happier, healthier, and so many other things were very positive. They said, not only it'll be good for you emotionally, but you'll also, you don't even have to go to the gym, you'll be much more healthier. So they like what you said about count the gratitudes, and count, like, see Krishna's mercy at that. So maybe at the end of the day, they were suggesting, right, three things which you are grateful
nice,
for.
Yeah.
So I'm just looking at this. Okay, I can count three things which I see Krishna's mercy.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I was thinking about how Krishna's mercy is not always pleasant.
Right.
But he never makes a mistake, and he doesn't go on vacation and forget about us. You know, one way or another, what's happening to us is his mercy.
Right. Yeah, I wish I had it here. There's Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Yeah, all these different things are qualifications for devotees to see. And he says, I wish I had that here. It's because of just the way he says it is so nice, that if for a person, and it's similar, like that verse, Tate Nukampa Shushamiksama, now that Prabhupada says this should be the guide of all devotees. And so the verse states that when there's difficulties in our life, we just worship Krishna more and more. And we think that those difficulties are the result of my own, you know, past wrongdoings. But like you said, in every instance, the person sees that this is Krishna's mercy. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur also stresses that so much, that's practically like is our qualification, is to see Krishna's mercy in everything. And yeah, actually he says that person who sees, you know, Krishna's mercy in everything, to him or to him or her, then devotional service becomes the rightful claim.
Sorry, because of what?
The inheritance.
All right.
Rightful claim.
When people would ask you the Prabhupada if he could see God in Prabhupada, different times, sometimes he would say yes, and then you got the sense that he was seeing him personally, and other times he would speak verses from the Bhagavad Gita that Krishna's the sun and the moon and the sound and ether, the ability of man, he's the secret of all secrets. So there's a cultivation, isn't it? That there's a willingness to associate with the words of Krishna and let them speak to us. And, you know, they use that word, how something can inform your work or your life in some way, so that those words become more prominent rather than the mind and its speculation. And so then there's an ability at every moment to be in that place of appreciation, because there's nothing that we can see or do or hear or speak or realize that isn't coming from Krishna. You know, so then everything that's happening, maybe we do something really well, and we're thinking, oh, Krishna, you're the ability of man. I can't believe it turned out so nicely. So we can appreciate it. We can even appreciate all the wonderful things that we see in others, without
it creating envy, if we're always connecting back to Krishna. Cool. Will we be, because I know this is largely based on the japa retreat.
Yeah.
Will we be getting into Shravanam Kirtanam as per Shastra?
A
medium. The reason I bring it up, so I know I was bringing it up also, is that while we're waiting for Krishna's mercy, of course we're always giving Krishna's mercy, but while we're waiting for that ultimate opportunity to go back to Godhead, we have to be kept
busy.
Well, not only busy, but busy becoming Krishna conscious.
Yeah.
And while we're waiting, sometimes our impatience or our lack of seeing Krishna will be a problem. So we have to be reading Shastra. And because it's full of so many things that keep us on track. So many enlivening things, knowledge. So would there be, or would that be Shravana Kirtana 2?
What we can discuss.
Reading Krishna book.
Well, I think this is also hearing about Krishna.
It is. I'm not saying it's not. No, but I'm talking about how Prabhupada has given us. He's given us the shot. I'm not saying this
actually
is.
It's,
of course it is.
Yeah.
Of course it is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's unlimited.
The art of hearing it.
Yeah. Well, I'm open to suggestions.
Okay.
But I was thinking there's some different. Well, there were some other topics I kind of wanted to cover that were under the Japa curriculum.
But it is unlimited.
Category.
It's
just yeah.
I was just thinking that because of the what you're encouraging us to be more serious about the chanting, then it seems to.
I'm just encouraging myself. You just happen to be hearing about it.
Yeah. So you're being. I'm feeling encouraged to be more serious, and so then it seems to connect. It seems that that seriousness becomes a part of our thinking, feeling, and willing throughout the day. You know, so it's not just.
That's a nice thing, yeah.
Like, you know, some devotee described that when the curtains close in the morning, it's like a play, it's like the morning curtain. Okay, now the rest of my day. There's the morning program, curtain closed, okay, now there's the rest of my day. Rather than carrying all of that as a way to be with the rest of our day, so that we're thinking about, like Toshinpuru was saying, maybe the scriptures that we read, and that trying to connect with Krishna, he reminds us, almost like if we're really trying, that he begins to reciprocate. You know, remember the Bhagavatam class? Because our memories are so short. I think that, you know, that sometimes that, because he's knowledge and remembrance and forgetfulness, we begin to be start remembering things. And like, where did that come from? You know, like the way we hear that Krishna will be in our minds at the time of death, even if the situation, I heard Prabhupada say, you know, whether you're in a desert or whether you're in a temple or any place that you are, you know, if Krishna's pleased, he can force himself into the mind. So even in the middle of traffic and somebody just cuts off and this and that happened, that we're really trying to chant and all of a sudden we remember something from class and, you know, so, you know, it just puts everything in perspective. It's like, and then, you know, when we're really trying to remember him, then we can be grateful because that's like a little gift. That just in the middle of the chaos and the whole Kali Yuga thing, all of a sudden we are given this little gift. And if we can acknowledge those little gifts along the way, it just seems that we get more than gifts.
Yeah, it's true that Krishna's Matasmitir Janamapohanam Cha, Krishna's the cause of forgetfulness and remembrance. So if we remember him, that's cause for
celebration.
And you know that he's allowing us to do it. Actually, that, on the same point, Prabhupada said, if there is sufficient hearing and chanting, then we'll know how to connect all of our life to Krishna. That's the thing. It's like, because it's not a formula exactly. You know, our lives are not, it's not do this and this. But if we're hearing well enough and deeply enough, that's the idea. Then while we're waiting during the course of our life, then we'll know how to put it together. At least this Srila Prabhupada was stating like that.
Mm-hmm. maybe that's something that we need to maybe remind each other more of, you know, that those little, like you were speaking about when we're waiting for the big connection.
Waiting for Godot.
But there's these other little connections that maybe we can take encouragement from.
Okay.
Like sometimes we need to be encouraged because what we're seeking is so huge, what we're wanting is so enormous, it's beyond even the greatest yogis.
Mm.
So that maybe we need to remember that there's these milestones or mile markers or just ways that Krishna is reciprocating that we can take encouragement from. You know, like sometimes we get mixed up in our minds, I do. Because we think, well, I'm so undeserving, I'm lower than the lowest, and you know, meantime Krishna's standing there doing all these wonderful things, or giving, and we're not seeing, because we know, no, I can't be receiving any mercy, I don't deserve any mercy, so I must not be getting any mercy, because I'm too low to get the mercy, you know. But then the mercy is there. There is reciprocation that we could maybe be taking some encouragement from in our...
Yeah. Well, I think also as devotees we have to encourage each other. That's very important. I mean, we're so much dependent on... Devotees are also Krishna's mercy. For sure. So yeah, I think so.
Isn't there one understanding that says that... we don't have to go anywhere.
Hmm. Sthanesita. Yeah. Stay put.
Well, I mean, that is to say, there's no question of having to go anywhere to find Krishna.
Hmm.
There's no question of having to birth after birth, I want to serve you. So that's implying you're staying here in the material world.
Yeah.
Birth after birth. And the understanding is that there's also that story where it's explained that the Vaishnava can either live or die. It doesn't matter because he's always... Anyways, I'm just saying, I think it's perhaps even better to aspire for the understanding that I'm not waiting for Krishna to do anything.
Mm, right. Yeah, that's... Yeah. Be happy. Be here now.
Krishna's available.
Yeah. Yeah, on one hand, if we may be here, but if we're just happy with being
a
devotee. Yeah, being a devotee, that's fine. That's good. That's perfection. Let's keep doing that.
You usually need to feel some movement to be satisfied, don't we? Like if we feel that we're really stuck, there's not much satisfaction. We usually need to feel that there's something that happened, some progress.
Mm.
What do you think, Sam?
Probably. I'm getting anxious about the time. I had another part of the program here. Sing one verse together. So should we go ahead with that?
Yes.
Oh, here it is. This is Anadi Karma Phale. This is a song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which is based on this verse. Ayi nanda kanajikin karam patitam maam vishameva vambudo Kripaya Kavapada Pankaja Spita Duli Sadrisham Vichinkaya. O son of Maharaj Nanda Krishna, I am your eternal servitor, yet somehow or other I have fallen into the ocean of broken death. Please pick me up from this ocean of death and place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. I just had one thought about what you said. If you feel that you're stuck and nothing's happening, that's good. Because that means something's happening. You've noticed that nothing's happening. And it's an impetus to try harder, right? It's an impetus on our side. Hare Krishna's not responding, or something's not happening. So at that point, we could think about, what can I do? Or you could think, why doesn't Krishna do something? But it might be better to think about, what can I do? Anyway. So this is, we could read, somebody can read.
Read
the English. Anadi Karma Pale. So this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's explanation of this famous verse.